This is like two men that have land and like they're trying to figure out whose land it is. like they've been there. Like they're both successful. They're trying to figure out whose land is bigger. Who has more land here?
Bienvenido and welcome back to Charges of the Game, a Game of Thrones rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Lovegood, Luna's favorite cousin. And did I say the Saints were going 4-0? I meant they would go 2-5, and that would be totally okay because management says wins and losses don't matter. I'm joined by my co-host, Gingy, my love, and TJ, HNIC, head naysayer in charge. What's up?
Steelers 5-2. You reminded us that 2-0 is not the same at the last episode we recorded, and it has not been the same.
It was not the same. I was
built different,
bamboozled, and run amok by the New Orleans Saints, and it won't happen again. I promise you that. Now, before we get started, we did take like a short little hiatus while one of us was helping with relief efforts in Florida. But we are back now. And I want to take this opportunity to thank three listeners. MDDC on Spotify, Sarah FF12, and Terminally Addicted to Pods, because obviously you would have to be to have found us. I want to thank you guys for your ratings and reviews. And to this person, I doubt you're still listening, but whoever gave us the 1-star review.
Fuck you. No, I'm just kidding. We need the 1 stars. They're important as well.
Did they give a reason why?
No,
that's what I want to know. Just put the reason. Put the reason why we suck. Like, tell us what we can do better. We're all for constructive criticism here.
But I mean, I doubt you're still here. It's a lot of episodes of this show, and if you gave us a 1-star review, I doubt you stuck around. But if you are here. Yeah, what TJ said. So this week we are discussing Game of Thrones season 3, episode 5, Kissed by Fire. It had an air date of April 28th, 2013. It was written by Brian Cogman, directed by Alex Graves, and had a rating of 5.35 million. So
solid.
Yeah, episode. I like this episode. And of course, before we get started,
you can put it on the board. Yes,
Young Kai is on the board.
You know, I was looking for something new and I didn't even recognize it.
We got it. We got.
But it's been so long since I watched an episode, so I didn't remember it was on the board the week before. Anyway, so.
All right. So, are you guys ready to get started then?
I'm ready. Yep.
Okay, well, let's start with the Brotherhood and their super secret lair where the Hound is judged by the Lord of Light. They get a new smith and Beric Dondarrion gets a new lease on life.
It's like a fucking cat. It's got 9 lives.
All right, so
you're running short on him.
What did you think of the battle? Because if you remember, which I'm sure you don't, it's been a while. You were like, I think the Hound might win. I think he could win, but like something could happen. Is this what you were expecting?
That he would chop the man basically in half and then not die? No, I was not expecting that.
Well, to be fair, he did die. He did die.
Well, yeah.
He died.
He did indeed die.
And so now how do you feel about the Lord of Light?
Maybe that the Lord of Light is the only god, the actual god in Westeros.
Yeah, like I have not seen the old gods bring somebody back yet.
Nope.
You know, new gods either. Neither of the seven.
Lord of Light sat there and has put some demon child thing and now has brought someone back to life. Like,
and again, this is one of those things where we should remember, keep this in mind going forward, that the Lord of Light can bring people back. But yeah, I think the fight, like starting off with the fight was really good. Like we saw the hounds, we saw the hounds fear fire again.
We and then see the what that
makes
fire.
Like what that makes him do. Like he went fucking insane.
He did.
I think the hound is a terrible fighter.
Well, when you're scared of fire and you just start just swinging with all your might,
because he's like that in all his fights. He's just brute force. There's no technique.
Well, it works for him.
It does. He plays into what he knows. Like he uses it to his advantage. But like he is a terrible fighter.
Like imagine how strong you got to be to chop a sword in half, to slice through a sword and then slice through a person.
Yeah.
And obviously, Arya did not get what she asked for.
Oh, she's distraught.
Clearly. I mean, like, because at first it's like, you know, when you see your first cafeteria fight, how like just enamored you are with everything going on. And then things went south. And she's just like, no. Like, they should have let her at him. But, oh well, it's only a flesh wound. Don't worry. Later, we find out, since they're going to let the hound go because he won, they're going to keep his gold. And Arya's super pissed that they're actually going to let him go. Like, you're really going to just let him walk out of here. Like, he got judged.
Yep. They're doing what their guy told them. So.
Ain't it fair? Like, we've seen this before in the episode. We've seen trial by combats. And
yep.
If that's how you want to judge somebody and they win, then you gotta let them go.
There's no double jeopardy in Westeros. But another thing that pisses Arya off is that the Brotherhood's getting a new smith. Oh boy,
we'll come back to that in the quote section.
Gendry is staying, he's joining, he's done serving.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like she says something about, like, you're still serving, you'll still have somebody to answer to. And he's like, well, you know, at least they have a purpose.
And you made a face.
Yeah, because I agree with Arya on this. Like, he said he's done serving, but he's literally going to sit here and serve. Like,
yeah, but.
But to be fair, like, who's he serving? Like, they have a lot of freedom as a group.
I just saw their god bring somebody back to life.
Yeah, if there's a team that you gotta stick with, like, go with the winning team, because at least you know you got a second chance. No one and done's there.
Yes, but Arya finds out a really important lesson, and that is that boys suck. She also adds a name to her list that we haven't heard before, in Ser Meron, who, of course, killed Cereo Pharrell. Killed.
Yeah, killed. Quotations.
If you believe he's dead, losers.
Which we don't.
But the Brotherhood tells her that they're going to take her to River Run and sell her back to her family.
Which kind of pisses her off.
Well,
they need to go.
Yeah.
But she should be happy.
Should she?
Yeah, like,
didn't get what she wanted.
Even, yeah, regardless if you're going to be selling me, like, I can at least get back to my mom and my brother, who are in River Run, safe and sound, right?
Of course. But important to note that, like, Thoros of Myr really did bring Beric Dondarrion back to life for what is now the sixth time, because they run down every single death he's died since the last time we saw him. He was killed by a lance by the mountain. He was stabbed in the belly, in the back, in the side. Then he was executed by the Lannisters. He was hung, and they put a dagger in his eye.
Because they couldn't decide which one to do, so they did both.
He looks great for a guy who had a dagger in his eye. I mean, like, yeah, he's wearing an eye patch, but it could be a lot worse.
He could be dead.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing to note is, like, just him talking about it, it's kind of sad, because he's like, you know, every time I come back to life, it's fine, but I lose something. Like, I lose a little bit of me.
Yeah.
Sounds like a zombie to me. to me.
Maybe.
But Arya wants somebody back. Her headless dad. Sorry, sis.
It don't work like that.
It don't work like that.
It doesn't.
It would be lovely if it did. But, like, are they going to sew his head back on first? He's just bone at this point. It's too late. Let's move on beyond the wall, where your grit ain't fucking without the medulla. Where are all my real eaters at? Let's fucking go. This scene, the first time I saw this one. Anyways, Ginge.
This is one of the scenes you just remember in the show just because of the you know nothing Jon Snow part.
Yeah, that's why.
He knows something.
That's the reason. You know nothing. But yeah, or first of all, Oral's not into this shit. And what does happen if he kills Oral while he's in his eagle? What? Does he get trapped in the eagle?
Yo, that man, he ain't feeling Jon Snow. Jon Snow looks like he is like so torn in terms of giving up all of these secrets.
Yeah, but he does tell them the truth about the three-manned castles. He's watched by the sea and the Shadow Tower. Of course, you know, under threat of disembowelment by Tormund, Giantsbane, who also fucks bears, but we'll get there.
Now, James, question for you. You're an analytical guy. When he said that there's 1,000 men at Castle Black, what'd you think about that?
That there's not 1,000 men at the Castle Black?
Yeah, I wrote that down. Seems like a stretch.
There could be 1,000 men, but they're not all Rangers. He could have been including the people that Sam's supposed to be and stuff like that.
But anytime we've seen Castle Black,
I ain't seen 1,000 people.
Yeah, 100 would be a stretch. That's man math. Because we'll say 8 and it's really 3.
You know? Yup.
That's man math. You got to round up.
Get back to that.
Don't sell yourself short. Never.
Well, Ygritte does take this opportunity to my man. And then John, being who he is, follows her wherever she's going. And they end up in a cave. And buddy, that fucking cave. Wowzers. John breaks his oath. Ginge?
Man, I can't believe he did it.
Really?
You think she really wanted it, or was this just a test?
No, I think she really wanted it.
No, she definitely really
and
wanted it.
And the reason why is because when they got in the spa, she said she doesn't want to leave this cave.
Keep that in mind. Mental note that one.
Also, I will say that I'm impressed with Jon Snow that she did not realize that he was a virgin. That's saying something on his behalf. Him and Pod are like the two virgins who know what they're doing. Congratulations to them. But then she also goes down her body count for him. So, like, don't worry. I fucked all these dudes and you were way better than all of them.
And we get the title of the episode from that scene as well.
Yeah, she's by fire.
Yeah, talking about the redhead.
Got kissed by Snow too.
Yeah. That should have been the title. Now that you say it.
Oh my god. And then she's like, let's take a bath. Like, I can't believe
you should have done that first.
Thank you. You fucked that. All without a bath, like yeast infection incoming.
Let's just remember, there is no soap. So is that really a bath, or is that you dipping in some stale water that's been sitting there for a while?
Oh my god. I don't think
that's a hot spring.
That's a hot spring.
Yeah, it's not like stale water. At least
the water's hot. There's still no soap.
Yeah, still no soap. Like, are you cleaner in the water? Like, yeah.
Anyway,
depends on what temperature the water is.
I mean, it was.
They jump right in. That shit won't that hot. They ain't even had to put a toe in. That was like lukewarm water.
Well, I've always enjoyed this scene, but they're married now, so now I feel gross about watching it.
Weird, but all right.
I mean, it feels like I've always enjoyed it because it's a very romantic, like, oh my god, yes. I waited so long for them to start fucking. But like now, the actors are married, so like I feel like I'm like peeping in their window. It's different now.
Now I wonder, like, since they're married now, I wonder if they make like horrible fantasy football trades with each other, like more than once.
I don't know. Perhaps if somebody puts market value on something and then somebody sells it for market value, it's so crazy.
Like I told you, if a bank leaves out a bag of money and you take it, you still rob the bank. That's it.
Okay, so here's my thing though. You have a master's in business, so
I do.
All of a sudden you hate capitalism.
Oh no, I don't hate capitalism. I'm fine with it. Capitalism. But when it happens twice, that's where I've drawn the line.
Twice.
It's when capitalism.
Like, fool me once, right? Fool me once.
And if you didn't complain about every trade that other people make.
Oh, I don't complain about every trade.
You know what my complaint is? My complaint is that you had a good trade with your husband, and then he offers me shitty-ass trades that are stupid.
Listen, counter it. Because I didn't even realize what was going on until you asked me. You were like, what is he sending me this shitty trade for? I don't fucking know.
I get salty because I think I've offered him better shit than what you get, but whatever.
If I have put people on the trade block and you come to me with an offer, I'm supposed to say no.
The trade block doesn't justify it. Oh, we're leaving this in here. This is good fantasy football advice for everybody.
I actually told my kid that we would probably go over there. He was like, are you gonna take that out? Because I don't think anybody's gonna be here. Like, maybe that's where the one star review comes from.
It's because we go off the track too much.
I was just like, maybe it's a Drake fan.
Look, hey, look.
Maybe he is a Drake fan. Oh,
it might be a Drake fan. For real, like, I told them I was going to fit this in somewhere discreetly, and you made it non-discreet. So it's your fault that we got to understand you. I put it in there discreetly.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. In my script that I write for the intro and stuff, right after I did the thing about the reviews, there's a part I put in here that said, speaking of one-star reviews, that's how TJ reviews every single Dynasty trade I make that isn't with him. You gotta let shit play out. Because you gave me shit behind the Dameon Pierce trade, and look at what happened.
I don't even remember that trade.
Enough. Exactly. But you were sure to give me shit about it. We are friends. Anyway, this is not a fantasy football podcast. This is a Game of Thrones podcast. And the hunting party has arrived at Harrenhal.
Just to point out, this is the first time that I remember noticing who Qyburn is.
Okay. Okay, so you remember seeing...
Yes, I do remember this. And I remember him being kicked out of being a maester and all that good stuff.
Okay, but you didn't remember the part.
But I do not remember the part from before.
I don't either.
But now this all makes sense.
Okay.
So now this all is a Harrenhal setup.
Let's go, baby.
This is all a Harrenhal setup.
Well, Bolton seems incredibly pissed that Jaime Lannister is missing a hand. Because who the fuck do you think that's going to fall back on when Tywin Lannister finds out about it?
Yeah, there's...
It also...
All this shit comes back around.
It's all a question, like, what's his angle? Because, like, he's on Rob's side. Like, Tywin's going to be dead, but just in case Tywin's not dead and things go, like, completely left here.
That's what I was like. Is he a traitor, or is he still, like, doing this for Rob.
And he does also take that moment with Jamie to find out if things about him and Cersei are true. With the whole, like, you know, they said your sister, she, well, she's
fine. Yo, imagine the mind fuck. The Jamie, yeah. Because, oh my God, he looked fucking distraught.
Yes, he did. But, like, he can't use, he still couldn't be, like, completely distraught. Like, it was enough to give it away, but he couldn't, like, he couldn't beg. He couldn't,
I mean, about puked.
Crying and throwing up. But then he does go to see Qyburn to get fixed. And Qyburn suggests making Jaime more incomplete, to which Jaime says, basically, I'll fucking kill you.
I think it's important to note that, like, Qyburn is not your normal maester, right? Like, he doesn't stick to the rules.
Well, he's not a maester at all.
Well, not anymore. But, like, he's not one because he doesn't stick to the rules. Yeah. He's very experimental. Like, just keep all this in mind. This is what makes this episode such a good one, because we get so many nuggets in this episode that are going to come back up. As long as you're paying attention to piece it all together.
We can't say that this is a good episode until all those things come back up.
Okay, listen, that's what
correct. But I do think this is a good episode anyway. But
I think this is one of the weakest ones we watched.
He said, well, you draft it then, bitch.
No, I do got a question here. Like, what do we compare Milka to Poppy to? Like, what would be Milka?
I would say morphine.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like,
yeah, morphine.
Or
I would have taken it.
What's that? What's the other thing? Not fentanyl, but what's the thing that was in pain meds that was, like, really, really addictive? That was, like, killing people back in, like, the 80s and 90s. Oxy, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we compare to, and he refuses it because he's a real one.
Nah, forget my pride. I'm taking it.
Period. Thank you.
But it's crazy because we hear so much about it. Like, in this series, we heard about it in House of the Dragon. Like, and it seems like the most potent shit known to man.
Yeah, man.
Like, anytime they mention Milk of the Poppy, they're like, we gotta give you Milk of the Poppy, and somebody's like, oh, Milk of the Poppy.
Yeah, Milk of the Poppy is what Ned was on when he was laid up in that bed. Hallucinating.
Oh, they were feeding that shit to him. They were like fucking drug dealers putting fentanyl on weed.
I do like the contrast with Jamie being like, the dude saying it's gonna hurt, and he's like, well, I'll scream. And then it takes me back to the witch back in the desert, and she's like, I'm not gonna scream.
Yep. He's like,
I'm a scream.
And it's like, it's really going to hurt. Well, I'm going to scream louder.
How long do you think it took for him to pass out?
Like, as soon as it cut to black, he passed out.
Oh, yeah. He screamed out one time, and that was it.
Yeah, he's up.
Thank you for that dramatic reenactment.
And then here's one more question in this scene I want to ask. Should Brienne feel safe? Because they really make it seem like, hey, yes, like, you come over here, we're gonna protect you.
No.
Okay. That's what I wanted to ask.
All right. We'll just leave it there.
Yeah, I'll leave it there. But I wanted to ask that question because, like, yeah, boy, they make it seem like she's at, like, a day spa or some shit. Like, we got you. We got you, homie. No, the bear and the maiden fair.
I don't trust any of it.
So let's go to King's Landing, where Tywin's three children are making moves to curry his favor. First, Cersei goes to Littlefinger, and, you know, she's like, listen, this is not Sesame Street, and my daddy do not kick it with no fucking birds, so I need something tangible to bring back to him.
Yeah, she's playing a game. She's doing Cersei things.
And I need you to do a better job about it than you did about finding Arya.
And of course you had to add that in there.
We'll put an asterisk because did he find Arya? But yeah, Tywin appreciates facts, and I can't go to him with no bullshit. So, like, I need you to find out what the Tyrells are whispering about.
Yeah. What do we have going on? What's the angle?
Oh, buddy. We'll come back to it, though, because now we got to talk about money. We got to go make some money moves with Tyrion and Lady OG. Because this wedding is real expensive.
Yeah, it is.
Expensive. And traditionally, weddings are paid for by the bride's family because misogyny and patriarchy and whatnot. Like, you literally have to buy a husband. Crazy. But turns out the crown is a little strapped. Things, budget's a little tight around here. We're going to need some help.
And which, like, she knows that.
Yeah, I just want you
because she already reminds them, like, this is what we're already paying for. Mm-hmm. We already paid for the food, the animals.
Let's run down what you've got.
Yeah, everything that y'all need to survive here, we're already supplying you that.
Yes, man. 12,000 men, 1,800 mounted, which means also 1,800 horses.
Yes. Provision. Everything y'all need to survive.
Oh, buddy. So what do you mean you need us to pay for this wedding to Brokey?
But then she realizes, hold up, this ain't my money. This is my man's money. Fuck that man's money. I'll pay half. She comes to that realization in the conversation. She's like, you know what? This is motherfucker's money. I hate this motherfucker anyway. Here's half. Oh, man.
Woo, I said a slur just then. No. Because I don't understand why you would have to just hit me like that. That was completely unnecessary. That was rude and nasty. And if you have something to talk about, we can do that off mic, friend.
I want to shout at you. I'm just saying that she realized.
Well, I don't know why I was hit then.
Look, sometimes that the shoe fits where, you know, but I wasn't shooting at you.
But anyway, she says, damn, here you go. We will fucking help. And then she calls him a browbeaten bookkeeper. Your grandmother is the nastiest person you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's just what it is.
They look like they're godly. They come across like they're godly. But you catch them on the phone with the right person, you're going to hear some shit.
That one. That's the one. Boy, first thing after church. First thing after church, her and her girlfriends. Babe, okay.
You see so-and-so's outfit?
Oof. I can't believe
you hear that. You hear them kids?
Yup.
Courtney got her chest out again.
They're going to let it be known.
But, you know, you love them, much like we love Olenna, who does what needs to be done, and now the Lannisters owe her. Once again, they are in debt to Olenna Tyrell.
I hope she's keeping a list.
Checking it twice.
Yeah. she is Santa Claus in this case. She's just giving gifts.
And she does something not many people can do, which is leaving Tyrion at a complete loss. Because he barely gets to say anything. And then she leaves and he's just like, so then he just bullies Pod. There it is. But yeah, so Tyrion's done good. I'm sure Tywin will be thrilled to hear about this development. I'm sure he'll be ecstatic to hear about what his son has accomplished later. Because right now, they're killing little boys at River Run.
Oh, man, what a fucking scene.
What did you think, Ginge?
The Karstark dude is...
Is he wrong?
To kill the boys?
To kill the boys, yes. They're just boys. Like, they're not They have nothing to do with the war.
They have nothing to do with the war, but they have the last name.
But they also made them think they were being rescued. Like, it's so awful. It's so terrible.
No, I'm not like agreeing
killed,
with it.
They killed their own guard, dude. Like, the guard that was guarding the boys is on their side, and they killed him.
I get it. I get the revenge or the vengeance aspect of it. My biggest question here is, has Rob, like, just lost it?
I put that too. I said, did Rob do right?
Like, I think that Rob is really, like, losing sight over balancing what's right and then what's war. Because all's fair in love and war, right?
No.
I like how y'all get two different answers at the same time.
I think that it's like, I don't know. I think that he's just starting to feel the walls closing in. And
but
so
you see,
now
like
he's reacting to the criticism he's been given that he just lets people slide on shit. And, you know, can't let this one slide.
But like the Karl Stark has a point though. Like,
yes,
Catelyn let Jaime go. She killed his son just as much as Rob did. Like, you don't see her fucking head on a spike. She's still sitting there.
I am not disagreeing with you. Like I said, he feels the walls closing in. Like, I mean, even later, we'll see later too, like, what's happening. Yeah. So
but what do you think, James? So you said no. You said no to my question. Do you think that Rob is doing the right thing, or that they did the right thing in the scene, or what do you think?
In this particular scene, yeah, I think he did the right thing. Rob did.
In
other scenes, I do not think he did the right thing.
So in this scene, you think it was wise, but he's being advised.
Okay.
You can't kill this man because
the advice that he gets from his mom, his wife, and uncle, I think he should have listened to them about that, just because you cannot afford to lose all those men.
Half his army.
But him actually doing the sentence and then actually swinging the sword.
Now I wrote that down. Rob passed the sentence,
correct.
Swung the sword.
I think that is the right choice.
That is the right choice, but he made the wrong sentence. Like, that's not the sentence you should have made.
At this time.
So you think,
correct.
So you think it's too much too late? Or too little too late?
I think it's too much. I think what he did was way too much. I think this is one of those times when you pull Karl Stark aside and say, look, like, I don't really agree with you here. You got your vengeance, but no more. Like, now we all need to get on the same page. We have one fucking goal, and that's to defeat the Lannisters.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I get what he did. I think he did right, but like,
because in this case, like, who even are these Lannister kids? Like, do we even find out like who their dad is?
Some rando.
Yeah, like, they just have the last name Lannister. They're not tied to Tywin at all. Like, do you, like, in all these battles we've had with Tywin and always seen with Tywin, does Tywin even care about these kids?
Nope.
Tywin don't give a fuck about his own kids.
That's what I was going to say. Like, we see much later, less, like, he don't give a shit.
Like, much less these kids. Well, I mean, so, like, you can't go to Tywin with these kids as a bargaining chip. Like, he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what? So I get their kids, and I get that they're saying they're taking care of them, but, like, who cares in the grand scheme of things? In the grand scheme of war and what this means, who gives a fuck?
Okay, but think about Rob the King, right? Rob versus Bobby. And like, what tore Bobby and Ned apart was like innocent kids dying. And like, look at Rob. Like,
correct. But
father, son.
But you think about it, one of them actually sat on the throne, one of them's trying to get there.
Well, one of them is a king in the north.
Okay, like I said, one of them's trying to get there. not even really trying, but one of them was very successful in the way they did things.
Yes, you're absolutely.
And I think that's the difference between what's right and what's war. Like, you got to be able to separate the two.
But we will also hear later about the kind of king that the one who sat on that throne, like, actually was.
Yeah, we do.
So, you know, I have my feelings about Bobby anyway. But, yes, shit's rough. And I love that they had him do it in, like, the pouring rain with the fire. It's just, like, it's all so cleansing and destructive at the same time. And, oh, buddy, we're in for a ride now. Anything else? Oh, he also cut his head off. It only took one blow.
And yes, one's unlike
very
Theon.
Clean. Yeah, very clean.
Theon!
didn't need ice to do it. Didn't need the oversized sword to do it. Just clean swipe. Proud of him.
Well, speaking of fire, we're going to go to Dragonstone, where Stannis confesses his sins to his wife. Turns out, Melisandre's already come to her as a woman. Barbara, this is Shirley.
Do you think Melisandre went to his wife before going to Stannis? So, like, asking for permission.
No, she didn't ask permission. Told her. She told
Hey, I'm going to fuck your husband, and you're going to be happy about it.
Yeah. Yeah, there was no...
The Lord of Light told me to.
But what did you think of Mrs. Stannis Baratheon? We've had a whole season and a half with him, and this is the first time we're seeing his wife.
Yeah, this one, that's the first time seeing her.
What did you think of her?
I don't know. I thought, like, the way they were talking about her, I thought she would be a little more handicapped.
Okay.
Like, I guess the only thing that she was, what they said was just infertile, right?
But to be fair, they did say she was infertile, but Melisandre also told Stannis that he is shooting blanks. Like, it's not happening for him. So there's all these babies in jars.
Which creeped me
out.
Yeah, fucking weird as shit.
Very cool.
Named and everything.
Yeah, that's a little much.
Do we put them out? Do we put them in the Pour One Out segment? Now that they have names.
Yeah, she's insane. But, like, there's all these jars of deceased boys. And she's like, are you coming to see her? I mean, he did have one that hit. And we meet little Lady Shireen and her grayscale. What did you think, Gingy?
Well, first I was like, oh, shit, he got a daughter. And then I was like, oh, is she part dragon?
Okay.
I like it. But yeah, we meet Shireen, who's like so, so sweet and so innocent.
Yeah.
And just, and it's like her mom, like, almost doesn't want him to see her, is what it seems like.
Yeah, they seem very ashamed of her.
Yeah.
Very
ashamed.
She's
kind of like Tyrion.
There it is.
Yeah.
Bastard of the family, but she's the only one.
I think they're more ashamed that she's not a boy.
Yeah,
I think it's different. If she was a boy and had grayscale, it'd be different.
I don't even think that it's no I don't even think it's that she's a girl. I don't think it's the whole girl thing. I think it's, like, just the grayscale.
You think so? I think it's more or less Stannis wanting a boy so bad. It's almost like what we saw in House of the Dragon with Viserys.
Okay. Yeah. But also, this is not a princess's room, by the way. They're, like, keeping her in, like, a basic...
Yeah, this is like a dungeon, almost.
Tyrion's room is nicer than this. Yeah. And we know there's some nice rooms on Dragonstone. Wild.
We hear a little bit about her and Davos, what we'll get to later, but... Like, she's looking for Davos.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Davos.
I was hoping that when Stannis was talking to his daughter about Davos, I was hoping he would have like a change of heart and like let him out.
He does not.
Nope. He a traitor and you should forget about him.
Forget this man ever existed.
Bellatry. Love it. Well, at Harrenhal, scrub a dub dub, two blondes in a tub. So, real quick question. Once Jamie disrobes and Brienne gets that one look at him, do you think she's like, damn, I bet he gets patted down at TSA all the time?
No, I don't actually. And the reason why is because when she stands up, he's more enamored with her than she was with him.
True.
Yeah, like he gets the full frontal. Let's go.
And she stands there for a while.
Yeah, like he was more enamored with her.
She said, drink it in. Damn, this is what a woman looks like.
But man, if you don't like Jamie by now, and if you can't sympathize with Jamie by now, like you have no fucking heart.
Brienne's face. Oh, Brienne's face. Does like he Ginge.
Yeah, this was the best scene in the whole episode.
I agree. So I think, like, just to break it down, obviously, like, we've gotten bits and pieces of the story before, but we never really got it like this.
Yeah.
Just him talking about the Mad King and what he was trying to do. Like, he tried to get him to surrender. So, like, he tried his hardest to not do it.
He tried to do the right thing without breaking his oath first.
And he tried not to have to kill his dad, too. Like, the Mad King's telling him, like, bring me Tywin's head. Like, but I think the biggest thing, the hardest part is in this whole thing is like Jamie went all this time being hated. And like he says, like the moment Ned saw him, like he was already guilty. And we talk about how good of a man Ned is throughout the whole entire show and how honorable he is, but he wouldn't even give like the benefit of the doubt or hear him out.
No, I'm with
like y'all are so quiet. Like I'm waiting on y'all to say something.
I'm with you because like what like Jamie said, what do you do if like the king wants your father dead? Like who do you side with? And I don't even think it was really like, and because it wasn't even really the Tywin thing, it was like the burn them all. Like
yeah, I think it was the burning of everybody in the city, whether they did something or not.
But nobody wants to paint Jamie as a hero. He's a Kingslayer.
But Brienne sees him as a hero now, buddy. So, Ginge, are there any men like Jamie Lannister?
I guess not.
You win, Jamie. You did. We got him.
Take the dub.
Yeah, I guess I'll take the L on that one.
We did it, Teach.
Yep. See, it only took us 3 seasons.
I know.
Didn't take long at all.
Well, right back to Dragonstone. Shireen and the Onion Knight. And we have, is this the first time we learned that Davos can't read?
Can't read.
I think so. I don't think we talked about that before.
Because, like, the look on her face, like, she is just utterly shocked. How could that be?
Like, you are the Onion Knight, and you can't fucking read?
Read?
You have Knight in your title. We call you Sir.
Right? You're a grown-up. What? But, yeah. He can't read, but she offers to teach him. And where else is he going? I mean
you got nothing but time, buddy.
I mean, isn't that what
she makes? I mean, she makes the good point because, like, she is technically also in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In her room. So, like, what are they going to do? Throw them both in prison? They're already there.
It's always good when kids are the voice of reason.
Right?
Green is just... I don't know. I guess because I'm paying more attention to Stannis this time. Shireen just seems just so much more important and innocent to me in this moment. Because, like, she's, like, the one, like, super innocent child that we have left.
Yeah.
Like,
she really is.
Has touched everybody else.
She might be the only kid in this whole series that hasn't just seen, like, all kinds of this crazy shit at this point.
Of course, she hasn't seen it because she's been locked in a tower with babies in jars. But, you know, she's still so innocent and sweet and, like, caring. And her parents don't deserve her.
I do get the vibe that I feel like Davos thinks for more of a daughter than Stannis does. Like,
yes.
I feel really felt like Davos really, like,
loves he loves that girl. Yeah, he loves her.
But I don't want to say this transition happens. Oof. She talking about Aegon and the dragons and conquering the stuff, and then it switches to Dany.
Sounds like Egg. And in Yunkai, I believe in Daenerys. So, very important here for Jorah is that he gets off the hook. He finds out that he is off the hook for his bullshit and tomfoolery.
Yeah.
And then immediately starts trying to call the fucking shots. What?
Yeah, look, man. Like, what are we doing?
Like, you were just scared a couple minutes ago that I was going to out you as a traitor, and now you're in my face talking about the assassins you've defended her from. You sent them!
Oh, but when you start acting like that you love my woman too, like, I'm going to put the guard up.
Except that I know I'm an old man.
Yeah, but only one of us is going to have Daenerys' heart, and it's going to be me, buddy.
Okay.
You know what this scene kind of reminded me of? Them two bickering back and forth. Varys and Littlefinger.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Just not as, like, catty.
Yeah.
Grumpy old men.
This is like two men that have land and, like, they're trying to figure out whose land's bigger. like they've been there. Like, they're both successful. They're trying to figure out whose land is bigger. Who has more land here?
They're actually almost at the point where they're going to bring out, like, the land title so that you can see where the property line is.
Yep.
But they do talk about the Battle of the Trident. They reminisce about horror and gore and violence. And Thoros of Myr's burning sword. Hey, we're getting a lot of callbacks to stuff earlier in the episode.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet. And we find out that that's when Jorah was knighted by Robert. So he obviously did some big shit in battle.
Yep.
That's a big deal. And that they both very much believe in Daenerys and her ability to lead. And so do the Unsullied and their new leader. What did you think of him?
I thought he was kind of scrawny. But his little speech about his name, I really liked.
Yeah.
This is the name that I had when you saved me, you made me free.
Yep.
This is the name I'm going to stay with. I was like, oh, okay, bro. Bars.
Love Grey Worm. You know what makes me, like, super happy? Because this would be very on brand for Game of Thrones. They didn't change the actor. Like, Grey Worm stays Grey Worm through the rest of the time he's here, so.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody stays everybody. Why would they?
No, they don't.
I mean, no, but nobody,
the,
like,
mountain changed three times.
Nobody that we see frequently.
False. We're going to come up on one.
That we see frequently?
Yes, that's very important. And they changed his actor. I think it's at the end of the season, going into next season, in the season four, going into season five.
Are you talking about the boy?
Yes, the boy.
That does not count.
Why don't it?
Please be serious.
Oh, which one are you talking? We might not be talking about the same one. I'm talking about somebody that's very important to the series. Very important to this side that we're on, and the scene we're in. Very important to her.
Do you mean like the actor that they changed after one season?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not even that big. Like,
I'm glad they did. By the way, that was a bad casting.
I mean,
where he ends up, but yeah, I'm glad they did.
Not book accurate, but I do actually very much enjoy that actor. He was in Tremé on HBO and Nashville, but we'll get back to that. But now,
on a tangent. Yeah, we're same page.
Yeah. But anyways, Dani's a great leader, and men follow her willingly.
I'd probably follow her too.
Me too.
Especially if I saw her not burn up in a fire and then bring dragons back to life.
And be naked.
I was about to say that.
Wow. You see how easy...
Call back to the beginning episode. Man math. Two plus two is three here.
Good news. Rob's got a great idea. Just in time, too, because the car Starks are gone, girl. Bye. Later. Like, you knew this was going to happen. Now what? The walls are closing in.
Yep. So what we're going to do? We're going to go get the phrase. And then we are going to Casterly Rock.
We're going to go get the phrase. Walder Frey, who I insulted.
I love your face, James.
Yeah, like, what the man thinking?
Like, season one, Rob, and early season two, Rob, is like, can't do no wrong. And then something just happens, and he's just a fucker.
He got married.
Pussy is what happened.
Once that shit happened, the boy... This man lost all sense of self and self-awareness and just smarts.
So what you're saying is that I need to never get married.
What I'm saying is, if you decide that you want to marry a Frey, like, don't turn your back on that bitch. So if you meet a lady with the last name Frey, just know that she's the one and go for it. Don't turn your back.
All right, James. This plan, what do you think of this plan?
I think it's a dumbass plan.
All right. That's all we need.
You're just gonna have another battle out here.
The motherfucking audacity of Rob Stark.
And we've already seen the type of man. Well, to be fair, he didn't talk to Walder Frey in that conversation that Kat had. Okay. So I don't think he understands like what kind of like petty old man this is. Like, I don't think he knows like what he's dealing with Walder Frey.
I mean, his mother's tried to tell him, but we know he doesn't listen to her.
Well, she kind of like sugarcoated it a little bit.
I don't think she did. And Roose Bolton certainly didn't.
No, Roose did not.
So.
But I don't think Rob is like really like considering that.
We'll see. In the meantime, let's go back to King's Landing, because this is not what Sansa Stark prayed for. First, as she's fawning over her man is getting his back broke. Love it for him, Loras. Turns out, Loras is just dealing dick out anywhere and has now foiled the plot. Stupid. Do you see how talkative men get when the blood is only flowing in one area?
Nah. You got you got men, and then you got like Loris.
First of all, okay.
Try not to get canceled here.
Okay, excuse me. We just talked about Rob and how Pussy got him in trouble. So don't tell me.
No. Pussy ain't really getting him in trouble. Pussy just made him start doing. Pussy made him start doing dumb shit.
Okay, so it made him start doing dumb shit, correct?
Dumb shit and in trouble, two different things.
Okay, Loris has done what? Dumb shit.
Loris.
Even Sansa knew to lie about that engagement. Even Sansa knew to try to lie about that engagement.
That's bad. That's bad when Sansa has like the self-awareness that he doesn't.
Period. So anyway, Littlefinger found something out. And then he went to creep on Sansa to see if she would lie about it. And she did. And she did so poorly. It's like, actually, I think, what if I just stay and just see how things turn out? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I got a feeling things are going to get a little better.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, things are looking up. Tomorrow is another day.
She's just thinking about that dick.
That wouldn't even get hard for her.
Nope.
Sorry to say.
She's not even thinking about Dick. She's thinking about how handsome he is and how gallant he is and how he's going to get her the fuck out of King's Landing and she's going to be the Lady of Highgarden.
A beautiful place from what she's heard.
Very far away. And in a few years, she'll realize that her husband is gay and she will just start...
It'll just be like...
Around the castle.
Yeah!
Like, she's gonna start getting her back broke too. And then they're gonna just sit up and key about it.
Yeah. She'll meet a man from Heron Hall.
Exactly. Exactly.
Have a bunch of kids with brown hair.
Yeah. Unfortunately, since Loris ran his fucking mouth, now things have gotten a little bleak for Sansa. Turns out all her dreams are not about to come true. She is about to get married, though. And Cersei's face, when Tyrion walks in, should let you know that some bullshit is about to happen. Because she looks...
Oh, yeah. She very...
Oh, yeah. You know, they always like call it a shit-eating grin. Like, that's the definition of a shit-eating grin. Because she ends up eating shit in the end.
Yup.
Oh, does she? And honestly, this is a great setup for Cersei. Cersei should marry Loris and just go get busted down at Highgarden, but she won't do that because she's the only Lannister there.
He ain't blonde enough.
He's not blood enough.
Blonde.
No, blood.
Good point.
But turns out Tyrion's reward for figuring out how to pay for this ridiculous fucking wedding and for saving the city and keeping shit together while his father was not there is Sansa Stark, which is not a bad prize if you're Tyrion. If you're Sansa, you're not a human being, so who cares what you think? Your property.
Just imagine already getting pressed about Sansa, though, from the woman you love.
And now you have to marry
her. Now you gotta marry her. Explain that one, buddy. Good luck. Good luck.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's what's in Tyrion's future.
He's doing the math up there.
Mm-hmm.
He's already thinking about that shit. Like, how the fuck am I going to explain this?
Well, that's okay, because then Cersei gets her comeuppance and her betrothal to Loris. So everybody's miserable. Congratulations. You all.
Look, at least Tywin's equal opportunity.
Yeah, I hate all you motherfuckers.
Like, one of his kids missing a hand. The other two got to marry people they don't want to marry. Like, they're all miserable.
That's how it goes on the Game of Thrones, season 3, episode 5, Kissed by Fire. Anyone to pour one out for?
Oh, I did a bad job at this week. So obviously Carr Stark.
Yes,
Lord. And that's all I got. The Lannister boys.
The Lannister boys. And Beric Dondarrion for the sixth time.
Now he comes back though. But yeah. Pour one out. We started the port and then we were like, nope. Let's save it for Carr Stark.
And now for our quote segment, stick it with the pointy end. Who wants to go first?
I'll go.
Oh, I have so many. I think somebody go in front of me. I'll go second. Yeah. I just got to figure out which ones I want to use.
I'll go. My first one is from the redheaded guy, the wildling. Yeah, when he's talking to John, he said, "If you lie to me, I'll pull your guts out through your throat." And then the next one is from Grandma, the best character in the second best character in the show now. When she's talking to Tyrion, she says, "I always take figs mid afternoon. They help move the bowels."
Yeah, you know my grandma used to keep a pack of Fig Newtons on the fucking counter all the time.
Y'all like Fig Newtons.
Precisely.
And then this one's from Carr Stark where he's talking to Rob. He says, "I don't want it to save me. I want it to haunt you for the rest of your days." Talking about, you know, his name and how they're technically related.
Yeah.
And that is all of them.
All right. I'm going to go next since Terry said he had a bunch. So my first one obviously is from Ygritte. "That thing you did with your mouth, is that what lords do to their ladies in the South?" Oh, buddy. John. Top tier. Anyways. Then there's, "I don't ever want to leave this cave, Jon Snow. Not ever. Because, you know, the sex."
That was one of my quotes. One of my quotes.
And then, "The people are hungry for more than just food. They crave distractions. And if we don't provide them, they'll create their own. And their distractions are likely to end with us being torn to pieces." Eat the rich.
Which we've already witnessed in a previous episode when they were throwing the shit at Joffrey.
Shit at Joffrey, yeah.
Yes. And I think I'm done. Yeah.
You sure?
Go ahead, do it. Put it out there.
Now, Jorah, when Jorah says, "Hours spent jabbering about backstabbings and betrayals the world over." Like the ones that you were up to, yeah, bitch.
What you were doing.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm done.
All right, so my first one is when the Hound looks Arya dead in her face and says, "Looks like their god loves me more than your butcher's boy." Like, boy, he struck a nerve there. The next one I got is from the title of the episode, "Red Hair Like Me, Kissed by Fire." Ygritte does have some fire in her. Then you took that one. And then, really good moment between Arya and Gendry, and she says, "I can be your family." And he says to her, "You wouldn't be my family, you'd be my lady." And then the Carr Stark calls Rob the king who lost the North. Instead of king in the North, the king who lost the North. Somebody took that one. And then Jamie, when he's talking, he says about Ned, he says, "By what right does the wolf judge the lion?" I thought that was pretty cool. And that's it. That's all I got. Y'all took two of mine, but it's okay.
I do have.
You had plenty.
Thank you.
Yeah, because I do have one more. When Littlefinger tells Sansa, "I hope you know that I'm your friend, Sansa, your true friend." So just definitely stick that with the pointy end.
Yeah, stick a couple of these with the pointy end.
Ooh, buddy. Yeah.
Write them down.
Blind rankings. So to recap, because I know you need it.
Yeah, I need it too.
Four, Dark Wings, Dark Words. 5, Episode 4, And Now His Watch Has Ended. 6, Episode 3, Walk of Punishment. And 9, Episode 1, Valor Dahares. Valor Dahares. So, 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, and 10. That's where you can put 305 Kissed by Fire.
I feel like I know where this is going.
I'm putting it at 10.
Oh my God. I thought you were going to say 8.
The reason I would put it at 8 is because of the Jamie and Brian scene. But I feel like this is halfway through the season. There's not going to be many more episodes that would be worse than this.
Fair. That's a valid point.
So I got to give it a 10.
It's a valid point.
All right. Okay. Well, I guess we found the stinker according to Ginge. That is going to do it for this episode of Charge It to the Game, a Game of Thrones rewatch podcast. Don't forget to rate and review us, please. And you can follow me at Lauren Lovegood, G-O-O-D-E, everywhere, including Blue Sky Social. Because that dude from South Africa is sort of ruining that other place. So, on behalf of Gingifer and TJ, I am Lauren Lovegood, and we will see you next time. And now our watch is ended.